2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 5 to 13. Jehoshaphat's prayer. The enemies of Judah have come upon her with tremendous force. Moabites, Ammonites, some of the Munites, a vast army. That's what we read in the first two verses of chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. This vast army has come up against Jehoshaphat from Edom and all these other places. And Jehoshaphat has been alarmed, but not in panic. But he has turned to the Lord to inquire of him. And all the people of Judah came together to seek the Lord. And then we read this. We read Jehoshaphat's prayer. Of course, we're right in the days of the Old Covenant. We're talking about temple, land, war, nations, kings, and all the rest of it. But the spiritual principles here, they stand, and they come down into the days of the New Covenant. Let's look at Jehoshaphat's prayer. Verse 5, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, at the temple of the Lord, in the front of the new courtyard. So there he is, standing as the king of this nation, this people of Judah, a godly king, and at this time a godly nation. And he's standing before the Lord in front of the temple. And this is how he prays. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it, and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20, 5 to 13. In a sense, I feel that comment is superfluous, audacious, but let me just say one or two things. I note the passion in this man. O Lord, O our God, O our God. You can hear the emotion, the heart in this man. This is no formal saying of prayers, the repetition of meaningless words. This man is speaking from his heart, and he's addressing the great God himself with humility, with reverence, with authority, with grip. Look how he speaks of God in his power. You have done this, you have done that, you have ruled here, you have governed there. You are the God of power. You are able to deal with this. We can't deal with it, but you can. We can't deal with these enemies, but you can. Look how he speaks of God's providence, how you led your people Israel. The people of Abraham, your friend, you led them, you gave them this land. You helped us, you've protected us, and look at our determination to serve you. We've set up this temple here. You've met with us here. Your power, your providence, your purpose is here. And your promises, too. Exactly how we can say the promises arises like this. Solomon, in his great dedication prayer of the temple, had set before the Lord these statements that whenever Israel looked to the Lord, praying toward the temple, whatever their calamity, that God would hear. And God sanctioned that as a virtual promise. And here is Jehoshaphat pleading that promise, pleading that prayer of Solomon. And he's hoping in it, and he's trusting in the Lord, and, as it were, presenting this check before the Lord. And he's pleading the attributes of God, your power, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, your ability to deal with all this. We can't deal with it. We don't know what to do, but you know. We're ignorant. You're not. It's your people. It's your temple. It's your cause. It's your name. It's ignorance. It's simply looking to the Lord. It's a tremendous prayer, a tremendous attitude in his approach to God. And the people are with him, too. It's a very high mark in the history of Judah. This king, this people, showing their ignorance, their humility, their weakness, but looking to God in his power, providence, purpose, his promises, pleading the attributes of God, the history of his dealings with them. And it's a tremendously high mark in this history of Judah. And what a lesson for us, brother and sister. What a lesson for me. My prayers are often so rote, repetitive, like the pagans, just meaningless words it can be. I want to learn from Jehoshaphat and pray with my heart, pray from my soul. Just crying out to God, even with words, with groanings which cannot be uttered, Romans 8. Looking to the Lord. He confesses his weakness. Don't you feel weak, brother, sister? Ignorant, don't know what to do, make mistakes. It's too big for me, this vast army is coming. We have no power. Don't you feel that? But here he is, his confidence is not in himself, not in his military might, not in the temple even, but in the Lord God himself. This is thoroughly old covenant. Oh, yes. But the principle comes over. Oh, to walk in this way today, in faith, believing, looking, trusting in the Lord. It's a word for you, unbeliever, too. Do you know salvation comes by looking unto the Lord? Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Do you know the great trouble with unbelievers? They're too proud to look. They're too self-righteous to look. They're too self-sufficient to look. Come like Jehoshaphat did. We have no power to save ourselves. I cannot save myself. I cannot do without you, thou Savior of the lost. I cannot save myself. I have no ability in myself. I just simply look to you in the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. That is the prayer. The Pharisee and the publican, the man who beat upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, said Jesus, he went down to his house justified. That's the new covenant principle. Here we see it in the old covenant. Looking to the Lord, trusting in him, looking away from self, carving out our own plans, but looking unto the Lord in humility, but in confidence and in hope, and from the heart, God give us such a spirit. Oh, for Christ's sake, give us all. May God give us all this spirit. Amen.